الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in Quran, وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That a person will get only for what they strive for. And this is the principle that applies to our dunya, that whatever a person strives, makes effort for, that's what they're going to get in the dunya. And in the same way, this principle applies to our deen, that whatever effort we make in improving our iman, the effort that we make in drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever effort we make in our deen for preparing for akhirah, a person will get that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to that person. So that to the extent of our efforts, we will advance in our deen. Which means then that just like we are making so much efforts in advancing in our dunya, our studies, our career, we should also equally, if not more, make effort of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that effort means that we have to begin to value our time. Time is a very limited commodity, and we have to value this time in order to use it to develop and come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our scholars have said that time is like a sword that cuts. If a person uses this sword, they can use this sword in a positive way. Otherwise, the sword will cut us. What that means is the time is going to pass by. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this fact about Ramadan also, ayyamun ma'dudat, it's a limited time. Imam Shafi rahmatullah said that there are two things that he learned from the people of Tazkiyah that helped him a lot. This is Imam Shafi, who was an imam of his time. And a personality of such knowledge is saying this. Number one, that if you don't cut time, it is going to cut you. And if a person doesn't use their time productively, then this time is going to cut them. And number two, if you don't involve and engage your nafs and that which is haq in good deeds, then this nafs is going to push you into those bad deeds and eventually lead you to the fire of Jahannam. It's amazing that throughout our life we think that time is passing, time is passing, time is passing. And at the time of death, the person thinks that the time was not passing, I was passing away. In fact, it was me who was passing away from this world. Just like a person considers gold and silver very precious, in the same way, in fact, more than that, we should view the time that we have. Because using this time, we can get much more than bars of gold and silver. We can get Jannah. Those who respect their time, they can reach the qurb and they can reach the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who waste their time, they will leave this world in a state of anguish and regret. So now that this month of Ramadan is a limited number of days, we are experiencing the last or the waning of Ramadan. So we should be very careful about how we use this time. We should use this time as much as possible in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life is really that time which is spent in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. Only that time that is spent in remembering Allah, that is life, that is zindagi. The rest is just an embarrassment, it's sharmindagi. And we have to imagine the power of the whole month of Ramadan is these nights, is these last opportunity that we have. That's really when you see the peak, the pinnacle of the power of Ramadan. What does that mean? It means that for those you who are in business, you have a sale. And in the last few days of your sale, you have a final markdown price. Everything must go. You have a giveaway prices, clearance prices, that I have to sell my stock. The last few days, everything must go. So similarly, in these last few days of Ramadan, there is an incredible power. You can imagine that the grain of sand in an hourglass, when you turn it over, and then you watch the sand trickling down, and when that last bit of sand goes down, it goes down with a whoosh. So these days of Ramadan are like that. The last few days, they pass very quickly. But Ramadan is escaping us. Our grasp on Ramadan is becoming weak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to help us increase our grasp on this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the reward. That if you can bring to me in these last few nights, the last few days, ibadah, remember me, then Allah is going to increase the reward. That's why you have this concept of Laylatul Qadr also in the last odd nights of the last 10 days. So we should try to use this time in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we are doing, in the background, we should be thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in dunya, we multitask. Right? You have, when you work in an office, the three categories of working people. You have a labor class, which is the lowest. Electrician, plumber, technician. They just have one job at one time. You tell them what to do, they will do that job for days, 2 days, 4 days, 1 week. Then there is a higher class, the supervisors. They normally have two jobs. They have to do their own work, and they also have to look after those people who are working under them, under their supervision. And then you have a managerial class, managers, general manager, finance manager. They have multiple jobs at one time, multiple tasks. They're looking after people, what they're doing. You have to plan their jobs. They have to plan about the future of the company, forecasting. They have to think about the company profile, company growth, how to achieve the targets. You can't say that I'm doing one job and I'm busy. If you're a manager, the top post, then you have to attend meetings, support other people. And it's so ajeeb that in dunya, we are able to do all these things. We are able to multitask. But when it comes to deen, that same person says that I'm only able to do one thing and that's sufficient. I can't do anything else. Then we react as if we're the labor class, like the electrician or the plumber. In our offices, in our dunya, in our studies, we can manage so many things. We are studying. We are part of some society. We're part of some adventure society. We can plan some events. We can go and listen to talks by different speakers. Then we come home. So we have tuitions that we are teaching to other students. And we have sports. We go for exercise and play sports. So you see that student is able to manage so many things, multitask during his life, in his dunya. But when it comes to deen, we say that I'm just making my namaz and my prayers. One job is sufficient. I don't have time for other things. We don't think that what will happen in the future, in the hereafter, in akhirah. We have the ability to multitask. We can do so many jobs in the dunya for rizq. So can't we multitask for akhirah? It's just a matter of management. And there is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that everyone who recited kalama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a plot in Jannah. The house is being built, but the raw material to build that house are the good actions that we are doing in this dunya. So we have to bring more and more good actions so that the house is built, the palace is built in Jannah. The house in Jannah is built in such a way that you will have one gold brick and one silver brick. And then the cement will be white musk. And then there will be a house in Jannah that will be made out of red rubies. Today, a woman, if she has a 5-carat red ruby, she flaunts at other people. The whole house will be made out of a red ruby for the believer. Acha, well, normally in the dunya, if you make a house, let's say you make a 4-room house. Now you cannot make it into a 6-room house. It's fixed. But the house that a person will be getting in Jannah, every day the design of that house would be changed according to their wishes. You want the entrance to be like this, entrance will change. It'll be flexible houses in Jannah. Every day, new design, new structure, new architecture. And then this will be a house where we will be living for the rest of our life in Jannah. So we should be worried about that house in Jannah. We should try to make that house in Jannah. We're so stuck up in making our houses here in the dunya that we forget that the real house in Jannah. But how do you make that house in Jannah? We have to supply the raw material from this world. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is explaining to us. That the raw material are the good deeds that you're doing. You recite Quran, send durood and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. You recite istighfar. You have good akhlaq. All of these are actions that can make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And in return, then Allah ta'ala can give us that house in Jannah. Hazrat Asiya alayhi salam was the wife of Fir'aun. She was a very intelligent woman. She was the first lady, wife of Fir'aun. but very intelligent. When Pharaoh said to her that if you don't believe in me, then I'll push you away from my house, from my palace. At that time, she made a dua to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I want a house in your neighborhood in Jannah. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala loved this dua so much that Allah Ta'ala made this dua part of the Quran. So the question is that, are we worried about our house in Jannah? It's very easy. You can get that house very easily. A person builds a masjid. It comes a hadith that if you build a masjid in this world, no matter the size, if you contribute to building a masjid, Allah will make a house for you in return in Jannah. Subhanallah. And then another ayat of the Quran, Allah says that whoever has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart, they fear the maqam of Allah ta'ala, the rank of Allah ta'ala in their heart, and as a result of that fear, they refrain from doing sin, then they will get multiple houses in Jannah. Multiple houses. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Not one place, not one palace, but two places in Jannah. Two palaces in Jannah. Jannatan. Two gardens in Jannah. Subhanallah. So whoever has fear for Allah Ta'ala, they refrain from sin, they're getting two places in Jannah. Like in dunya also, na? You have a house in Pakistan, in Karachi, and then you also have another house in Dubai, right? I have two houses. That when I'm in Pakistan, I live in one house. When I go to Dubai, I live in the other house. Oh, sometimes in Pakistan, you have two houses. When I'm in Pakistan, Karachi, I have one house, one place. And then in Lahore, I have another place. Or Islamabad, I have another place. People are happy about two places. So similarly, whoever has fear of Allah Ta'ala and they refrain from sin, they will have two places in Jannah. Then another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with a person, then Allah makes a house for him or her in Jannah. But when Allah ta'ala is happy with a scholar of deen, an alim or an alima, then when Allah is happy with a scholar of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a city for him or her in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So one individual, when Allah is happy, Allah makes one house. But when Allah is happy with that individual who's also a scholar of deen, then Allah gives a whole city for that person in Jannah. Now, why a whole city? In dunya, we have seen that people are very wealthy. They don't build a house. They built a whole state for themselves. We say the city of Kalat. Right, well, the Kalat, he owns that person, owns that whole area of land, or Gujarat. We have the Nawab of Fala region, Nawab of that region, right? The ruler of that region, King Abdullah city, right? They build a, when you have a wealthy person, they don't build one house or one area. They build a whole city for themselves. These dignitaries, wealthy people in the dunya, they have cities after them. This is our city, our region, our province. And in the same way, in Akhirah, those people who do work of deen, those people who are doing work of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will give them cities in Jannah. They will have thousands of houses in Jannah. All those people who used to love them, they will also be allocated a house in Jannah in that area. They'll be with them. This means that we can make our house in Jannah very easily. But if you don't work, then on the day of judgment, you'll be told that we gave you the chance to build your house in Jannah, but you never thought about your house. You were busy in the dunya. You built a few beautiful houses in the dunya, but you were never thinking about the hereafter. So no house for you in Jannah. So the intelligent person is that who lives in this world and they're constructing their palaces and houses in Akhirah by doing more and more good deeds. The raw material for construction in Akhirah is the good deeds that we do here. So we pray Salah, Quran, Durood, Istighfar, Zikr of Allah Ta'ala, remembrance of Allah, good akhlaq, all these are good actions. Allah will give us a house in Jannah in return for this. It's not difficult, very easy. Sometimes we give an excuse that I don't have time. Right? No extra time is required for this. When a person is, for example, when a person is working in their office, we should not speak lie. Work hard. Don't lie. Don't do khayanat. Be faithful to our duty. Right? When you have come back home, then you should be loving towards your family, loving towards your parents. Do khidmat of your parents, loving towards your wife, loving towards your husband, loving towards your children. Then when you meet your relatives, again, you meet them with adab, you meet them softly, gently, to have softness for fellow Muslim believers, to have good akhlaq. That's a raw material. It's a raw material. It's the price that is being provided for that house. We're paying Allah Ta'ala the price. Allah, this is, we are giving it to you. And in return, Allah Ta'ala will give us that house in Jannah. And then for those who are working in offices, coming and going to office, right? Commuting. If it takes 10 minutes, 15 minutes, sometimes it takes more than that, 30 minutes. But in that time, when you're driving or you're being driven by someone else, you can just, you're sitting. If you can recite kalima, half an hour, you can say 200 times kalima. Half an hour, you can say so many times, you can say subhanallah. It's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. So all we have to do is that the hand can be busy in the work, but the heart should be busy in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are very small, simple ways to get a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't require extra time. Once there was some, you know, there is a hadith of the Prophet that whoever says subhanallah once, then in return for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that individual one tree in Jannah. Now I want you to do some mathematics and some computations. Mashallah, all of you will be able to follow along. And that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that when you say subhanallah once, one tree in Jannah, and that tree will be so big that it comes in a hadith, Sahih Bukhari, that it will have such a shade that if there is a very fast moving horse, and if a rider rides on that horse and continues to ride for 100 years, so the shade of that tree will not end. So subhanallah, this is how, that's the kind of a tree a person will get, that big. Now when a person tries to calculate, so if you think about different animals, cheetah is very fast. And the speed is about 90 miles per hour. Lion is 80 miles per hour. The horses which normally win races, they are about 80 to 85 miles per hour. So if, let's say we take a horse with you know, a speed of less than that, let's say 50, just to make calculations easy. So we have a horse which is 50 miles per hour. That's the speed. Which means that in 24 hours, that horse will be able to travel a distance of 1200 miles easily. So if in one day, if that horse can travel 1200 miles, so in 1 month, how much miles will that horse will be able to travel? That's about 36,000. 36,000 miles in 1 month. And if a horse is continuously traveling at that speed, so in 1 month, it can easily travel a distance of 36,000 miles. Now, the circumference of the entire earth, the world, is 24,000 miles. And the speed of the earth is 1,000 miles per hour. That's why in 24 hours, you can make a whole circumference. You can go around, right? That's why you have a rotation. You have this whole daily rotation, days and nights. So if in 24 hours, you travel 24,000 miles. That means that if you want to travel 36,000 miles, that would take about 1.5 day. 1.5 day. So the meaning of this is that in 1 month, that horse that was traveling for 1 month and was able to travel 36,000 miles. So in one sense, this horse has traveled the circumference of 1.5 Earth. You have a journey around the Earth. So he has done one journey plus half the journey around the Earth. 1.5 times he has traveled around the Earth in 1 month. So now you do further calculation. In 1 year, that horse will be able to travel the distance of about 18 circulations around the Earth. And you can go around the Earth once, twice, thrice, 18 times. That's the kind of a distance that horse will be able to travel in 1 year. So if 1 year, it can travel the distance of 18 Earth. So in 100 years, that horse can travel a distance of 18 times 100, 1,800 Earth. 1,800 Earth. Subhanallah. That's what the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is saying, that if you recite Subhanallah once, you will get a tree in Jannah where the horse can travel for 100 years, but that shade will not end. So, which means that if you recite Subhanallah once, you will get a land in Jannah, which will be, the distance of that land will be more than 1800, this, the circumference of the earth. 1800 is the mean, 1800 earths. We just have to reflect about this. We can spend our whole life with our degrees, and at the end of the day, when we look at our saving, we can get a house of 1 canal or 2 canal in some area, or 5 canal in some area. But look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you say Subhanallah once, and in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a plot in Jannah, the size of which will be equal to 1800 earths, 1800 earths that we have here in this dunya. So have you seen such a cheap lot in the dunya? One subhanallah person will get this. So this is clear and sale for us. We have to use our akal, our intelligence, not just for the dunya, also for the deen. And it doesn't take long for a person, no extra time that is required for this. For people who are doing the dishes, they can say Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. For people who are driving, they can say Subhanallah. You're just waiting, you can say Subhanallah. So much, we have so much, no extra time is required for all of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these people who multitask. Quran says that Rijalun tulhihim tijaratun wala bayun an zikrillah. That these are the blessed people that they're in trade, they're in commerce, but that does not distract them from the remembrance of Allah. When the shopkeeper comes, when the customer comes, they engage. But then when the customer goes away, that shopkeeper starts doing zikr of Allah ta'ala, remembering Allah ta'ala. Every person, no matter what their background is, they can do it. They can be busy in the dunya and they can use their heart in the remembrance of Allah. We cannot make an excuse. If we can multiple task in multiple jobs in dunya, why can't we do multiple tasks for akhirah? Every day we prove that we can do so many things in the dunya. We can take care of 10 projects. You're a director, manager. We're thinking about that. We have made investment in 20 places, right? So we can do that for the dunya. We can also do that for akhirah. Preparing for akhirah is very easy. It's not that you have to do some exercise for 1 hour every day. I'm not strong, right? I cannot work out for 1 hour on the treadmill every day. No. That a person simply remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the day, throughout the day. They do their faraiz, they pray 5 times, they read Quran, durood, istighfar, have good akhlaq, they behave with other people in a nice manner.
if we will make their, you know, make their hearts happy, make the hearts of other people happy around us, Allah will be happy with us. No extra is required. If we eat our food, we eat our food according to the sunnah, not while we are standing up but sitting. If we do everything according to the sunnah, it means that we are doing work of the dunya, but we are building our house in Jannah at the same time. You're doing everything of the dunya, but if you do it according to the sunnah, you're building your house in Jannah at the same time. So this is very easy now, that we are fulfilling our needs of the dunya. You're eating, you're drinking, you're changing your clothes, you're sleeping, you're leaving the house, you're entering the house, you're driving the car. But you do all of these things according to the sunnah, then in return, our house is being built in Jannah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be smart about the akhirah as we are smart about the dunya. Think every day how we should spend our day. And when we become forgetful of the akhirah, then we are depriving ourselves of that house in akhirah. We should make dua to Allah ta'ala that, Ya Allah, we need a house in akhirah. We need a house in the neighborhood of Sayyidina Rasulullah. And if you make dua to Allah ta'ala, if you do good actions, then it's not difficult for Allah ta'ala. There'll be so many people in this world who will be sleeping on soft beds, but they will be going to Jannah. Who will be these people? Who will be those people? In Hadith, the Prophet said that there will be those people who will be sleeping on soft, comfortable beds, but they will be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. And due to that zikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a house in Jannah. So we can achieve a house in Jannah even if you're living a life of comforts. To go in Jannah doesn't mean that everyone has to remain hungry and thirsty and they have to be deprived of the blessings. It's not like that. It's not like that. That's not the requirement. The requirement is that whatever we are doing, we have to do it according to the Sharia, according to the Sunnah. And if we do it according to the Sunnah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us a house in Jannah. There were many, many, many people in the Ummah who in this dunya, in this world, had a lot of wealth, who had a wealth of the dunya, but they had the fear of Allah ta'ala in their hearts. So they spent a life of a very pious person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Jannat. Hazrat Khwaja Qutubuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah, he was a very pious person. And when he passed away, he was also the emperor of that time. He was the king of the time, Badshah. No, Hazrat Khwaja Qutubuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah was a very pious person, and he was not the king. He was living in the time where there was another very pious king. So it comes that when Hazrat Khwaja Qutubuddin Rahmatullah passed away, so the janaza was brought into the ground, and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people were gathered to pray the janaza, because he was a very senior alim, scholar, pious person, friend of Allah. A lot of people were there. And at the time of janaza, there was an announcement. A person came and made an announcement and said that before Hazrat passed away, Hazrat had made a wasiyat to me. And this is my responsibility, that I have to mention his wasiyat in front of all of you so that we can do amal on that wasiyat. So now all the people in that crowd, they were attentive. And that person, he recited the wasiyah and said that Hazrat said that my janaza will be read by that person who has four qualities in his life. Number one, he should be so pious that he has never missed the takbir-e-ula of the farz namaz ever in his life. And takbir-e-ula means Then when a person, when the imam says Allahu Akbar, so at that time, that person should be present to be able to listen to the Allahu Akbar of that imam. Now, if you look at our life, so we fail this condition, number one. We miss our salah in jamaat, and sometimes we miss our salah with the takbir-e-ula also. Right? One rakat goes away, two rakat goes away, then we join. Second condition, that person would have never missed his tahajjud salah ever in his life. Now, if you look at the second condition, again, we fail. We are human beings. Sometimes we are traveling. Sometimes we have sehat. Sometimes we are healthy. Sometimes we are sick. No, we have different halat in our life. And sometimes tahajjud, we're not able to. We don't get the opportunity, the chance to pray tahajjud. We miss it. Third condition, that he should be so much, he should be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, such a big worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would never have missed his sunnatain of Asr Salah. Yani four farz, that's Asr, four farz. But before four farz are also four sunnat, which are optional. So the third condition was that he should be so, that person should be so pious that he would never have missed his four sunnat of Asr Salah. And again, the third condition we fail. And then the fourth condition, that this person would have never looked at another unrelated person of the opposite gender with a gaze of lust, with shahwat. Ghair mahram ko shahwat se na dekho. Very strict condition. And when these four conditions were recited, the entire majma, the whole gathering, everyone inside that gathering, they became silent. Stationary. People were hairan, people were surprised, amazed that who is that individual? Is there any person who could have these four attributes? And then who will be able to recite the janaza of this person? So there was stillness, silence for some time. And then people saw that there was one person who was slowly coming forward. And he had tears in his eyes. He was crying. And he stepped forward and went near the Hazrat, where the kafan janaza was. And he came near the face and said that, Hazrat, that you passed away, but you have opened and exposed my secret in front of all these people. You have embarrassed me before all of these people. And then that person turned towards the gathering, all the people in that gathering, and said that I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have these four qualities present inside of myself. They're present inside of me. And then that person, he led the Salat Janaza, and people saw that this person, he was the king of that time by the name of Altamash. So we should think that if the king of that time could be such an individual, that he never missed his takbir-e-ula, he never missed his tahajjud salah, he never missed the sunnat of asr salah, and he never misdirected his gaze, so then what about people like us? So subhanallah, if a king can do it, then why can't we? Our excuses are lame excuses. Same environment that we are living in, there are people who have this fear of Allah Ta'ala in their heart and they're preparing for Akhirah. So we should give value to our future, real future. Think about a real future, which is Akhirah. Plan for that future. The planning has to be done right now, here. Future planning has to be done before time. Akhirat planning has to be done right now. Before Akhirah comes, now is the time. There will come a time then all of us will die. Then we will not be able to plan anything else. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to have a pious life according to the sunnah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we can do multiple tasks at one time regarding our akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala make us people who remember him often and abundantly throughout the day. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll make dua. Subhana Rabbil Al Wahhab, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, hum apke aajiz miskeen se bande hain, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma, hamari khataon ko dargozar farma. Allah, hamare aibon ki pardaposhi farma. Allah, jo guna yaad hai unko maaf farma, jo guna karke bhul gaya unko maaf farma. Allah, hamare batin ki gandagi ko dur farma, hamare dilon ki gandagi ko dur farma, hamare dilon ko apni mohabbat se munawwar farma, hamare dilon ko saaf farma. Allah, dilon ko apni mohabbat se maamoor farma, apne ishq ki aatish hamare seenon mein paida farma, hamare ang ang se apne zikr ko jari farma. Haddi haddi boti boti apni mohabbat apni yaad naseeb farma. Ya Rabb Kareem, hame bhi un bandon mein shamil farma jo har lamhe aapko yaad karte hain. Allah, hame akle saleem ata farma, qalb saleem ata farma, nafs mutmainna naseeb farma. Allah, hame bhi aakhirat ki taiyari karne walon mein shamil farma. Ya Rabb Kareem, apni rehmat se ya Allah hame bhi jannat ke andar ek aala maqam naseeb farma. جنت الفردوس نصیب فرما, جنت الفردوس بغیر حساب کتاب عطا فرما. اللہ, جس طرح اپنے دنیا کی نعمتیں عطا فرمائی ہیں, اللہ ہمیں کل کو آخرت کی نعمتیں بھی اسی طریقے سے اس سے زیادہ نصیب فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم, ان دنیا کی نعمتوں پہ ہمیں شکر کرنے والا بنا دیجئے. اپنے شاکرین بندوں میں شامل فرما, ذاکرین بندوں میں شامل فرما. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ, ہمیں اپنے خاشعین بندوں میں شامل فرما. ہمیں بھی اپنے دل کے اندر اپنی خوف نصیب فرما, اپنی عظمت عطا فرما. اللہ, اپنی عظمت اور اپنی کبریائی کی تجلی ہمیں بھی عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم, اپنی عظمت کی وجہ سے گناہوں کو چھوڑنا ہمارے لیے آسان فرما. یا رب کریم, اپنی رحمت کا معاملہ فرما, ہماری ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمتوں سے قبول فرما. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ, ہمیں بھی اپنی عقل کے ساتھ اللہ آخرت کی تیاری کرنے والا بنا دیجئے. اللہ, ہمیں آخرت کی فکر نصیب فرما, آخرت کے اعمال عطا فرما. ایک سنت, قرآن سنت اور شریعہ والی زندگی نصیب فرما, سنت کی محبت نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم, بیکار کاموں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, لا یعنی کاموں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, فضول کاموں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم, بہت سارا وقت ہم فضول کاموں میں ضائع کر دیتے ہیں. یا رب کریم, فضول کاموں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما دیجئے. اللہ, ہمارے کاموں کو, اللہ, ہمارے وقت کو قیمتی بنا دیجئے. ہمیں اپنے وقت کو اللہ صحیح طریقے سے استعمال کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم, جس طرح ہمیں دنیا کے معاملے میں ہمارا ذوق اور شوق لگتا ہے, اللہ, ہمارے دل کے قبلے کو بدل دیجئے. اللہ, ان اعمال کا شوق عطا فرما دیجئے جن میں آپ کی رضا ہے. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ, جو آپ کو پسند ہے, اللہ, اس چیز کا ہمیں شوق عطا فرما دیجئے, اس چیز کا ہمیں دلی ذوق عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم, ہر دل کے اندر اللہ کچھ شوق ہوتا ہے, کچھ تمنائیں ہوتی ہیں, کچھ چیزیں دلوں کو اچھی لگتی ہیں. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ, ہمارے دلوں کو وہ چیزیں اچھی لگیں, اللہ, جو آپ کو اچھی لگتی ہیں, وہ چیزیں اچھی لگیں, اللہ, جن میں ہمارے لیے حقیقی معنوں میں فائدہ ہے. اللہ وہ چیزیں اچھی لگیں یا رب کریم جن میں آخرت میں ہمارے لیے کامیابی ہے. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کی محبتوں کو بدل دیجئے, ہمارے دلوں کی چاہتوں کو بدل دیجئے, ہماری دلوں کی تمناؤں کو پھیر دیجئے, ہمارے دلوں کی تڑپ کو پھیر دیجئے. یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے ہمیں اپنا شوق عطا فرما, اپنی ملاقات کا شوق عطا فرما, ان اچھے اعمال کا شوق عطا فرما اللہ جن کے ذریعے آپ کا قرب نصیب ہوتا ہے. اللہ ہمیں قرآن کا شوق عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ جس طرح دنیا کا شوق ہوتا ہے دنیا والوں کو, اللہ ہمیں دین کا شوق ہمارے دلوں میں ڈال دیجئے, ہمیں دین کے اندر مزہ آئے, دین کے کاموں میں ہمیں مزہ عطا فرما دیجئے, دین کے کاموں کے اندر اللہ ہمیں لذت عطا فرما دیجئے, اللہ دین کی عبادات کے اندر ہمیں لذت عطا فرما دیجئے, اللہ دین کی عبادات کو ہمارے دلوں کا سرور بنا دیجئے, دلوں کا سکون بنا دیجئے, دلوں کا مزہ عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ نماز کے اندر مزہ نصیب فرما, اللہ اپنی عبادت کے اندر مزہ عطا فرما, قرآن کے اندر مزہ عطا فرما, اللہ استغفار اور درود کے اندر مزہ اور لذت نصیب فرما, اللہ دین کا کام کرنے میں لذت نصیب فرما, دین کا علم پڑھنے کی لذت نصیب فرما, اللہ دین کے اوپر عمل کرنے کی لذت نصیب فرما, سنتوں کو اپنے آپ سے سجانے کی لذت نصیب فرما, ظاہر اور باطن کو سنت کے ساتھ مزین کرنے کی لذت نصیب فرما, ایک شوق عطا فرما, ایک ولولہ عطا فرما. یا رب کریم ہمارے دلوں کو, یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں کی لذتوں کو اپنی طرف پھیر دیجئے, ہمارے دلوں کی لذتوں کا رخ بدل دیجئے, اللہ ایسا بنا دیجئے کہ ہمیں عبادت کا شوق ہمارے دلوں کے اندر آ جائے, ہم بھاگ بھاگ کے آپ کی عبادت کریں, عبادت کر کر کے تھکیں اور پھر تھک تھک کے اللہ دوبارہ عبادت کریں. اللہ ہم جس طرح دنیا کے اندر تھکتے ہیں, یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمیں دین کے اندر بھی تھکنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اللہ اپنی رحمتوں کے ساتھ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. اللہ اپنی رحمت کے ساتھ یا اللہ جو مانگا ہے اس سے بہتر عطا فرما, اللہ جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے رب کریم ہمیں وہ بھی نصیب فرما. اللہ آپ بہت حنان ہیں, منان ہیں, کریم ہیں, اللہ آپ تو مانگنے سے پہلے بندوں کو عطا فرما دیتے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے ان اٹھاتوں کو قبول فرما لیجئے, اللہ ہمیں تمام خیریں عطا فرما دیجئے, تمام برکتیں عطا فرما دیجئے, اللہ دنیا کے کاموں کو بھی اللہ اس طریقے سے کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما کہ ہمارے لیے وہ بھی عبادت بن جائیں, وہ بھی ایک اجر کا ذریعہ بن جائیں. یا رب کریم ہر کام کو سنت کے مطابق کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اللہ سنت کا ہمیں علم عطا فرما دیجئے, المسنون اعمال کا علم عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہر چیز کو اللہ جو سنت تلاش کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اور یا رب کریم اللہ ہمارے 24 گھنٹے پورے دن اور رات کو یا اللہ ایک عبادت والی زندگی بنا دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہماری ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمتوں سے قبول فرما. جس طرح آپ نے قرآن میں تذکرہ فرمایا کہ وہ لوگ سعادت مند ہیں جو ہر وقت آپ کو یاد کرتے ہیں, رجال لا تلہیہم تجارت ولا بیع عن ذکر اللہ, کہ دنیا کی عین دنیا کے اندر ہوتے ہیں, تجارت بھی کرتے ہیں, کام بھی کرتے ہیں, لیکن پھر بھی دل میں آپ کو یاد رکھتے ہیں. اللہ ہمیں بھی یہ صفت عطا فرما دیجئے, ہمیں بھی اللہ یہ نعمت عطا فرما دیجئے کہ ہمارا کام دنیا کے, ہمارے ہاتھ دنیا کے کاموں میں مصروف ہوں, ہاتھ ہمارے کام کاج میں مصروف ہوں اور دل اللہ آپ کی یاد میں مصروف ہو. ہمارے دلوں کو یا اللہ ذاکر بنا دیجئے, دلوں کو یا اللہ زندہ بنا دیجئے, دلوں کے اندر اللہ اپنی محبت آ ڈال دیجئے, اللہ اپنی محبت دلوں پہ چھا جائیے, ہمارے دلوں کے اندر آ جائیے. یا رب کریم ہمارے دلوں کو زندہ بنا دیجئے, اپنی محبت کی حرارت نصیب فرما, اپنی محبت کی حرکت نصیب فرما, اپنی محبت کے اندر شدت نصیب فرما, اپنی محبت کے اندر رسوخ عطا فرما, اپنی محبت کے اندر دوام عطا فرما. اللہ جو غیر کی محبتیں ہیں ہمارے دلوں سے نکال دیجئے, اللہ جو نفسانی شیطانی حیوانی محبتیں ہیں اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو ہمارے دلوں سے نکال دیجئے. اللہ اپنی محبت ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے, اپنی محبت سے ہمارے دل کو پوری طریقے سے بھر دیجئے. یا رب کریم پورے دل کے ساتھ اللہ آپ کو چاہنے والا بننا ہمیں بنا دیجئے, آپ سے محبت کرنے والا بنا دیجئے, آپ کو راضی کرنے والا بنا دیجئے. یا رب کریم کوئی ایک لمحہ بھی ایسا نہ گزرے جو غفلت میں گزرے. یا رب کریم ہماری غفلت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, اللہ ہمارے غافلین میں سے ہمیں نہ بنا, اللہ ہمارے غافلین سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, اللہ متکبرین سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, حاسدین سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم یہ تمام جو صفات مذمومہ ہیں اللہ بری صفات ہمارے اندر سے نکال دیجئے, غفلت کو, حسد کو, تکبر کو, اللہ یہ تمام چیزوں کو ہمارے دلوں سے نکال دیجئے. اللہ دنیا کی ناجائز محبت کو نکال دیجئے, مخلوق کی ناجائز محبت کو نکال دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہمارے دلوں کے اندر ایک عاجزی نصیب فرما, ہمارے دلوں کے اندر اللہ ایک انکساری عطا فرما, حیا نصیب فرما, اللہ خیر خواہی نصیب فرما, اللہ ہمیں بھی اچھے اخلاق نصیب فرما. جس طرح آپ نے نبی علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام کو اچھے اخلاق عطا فرمائے تھے, خلق عظیم, اللہ ہمیں بھی اپنے نبی علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام کی طرح, اللہ ہم بھی انہی کے روحانی بیٹے بیٹیاں ہیں, اللہ ہمیں بھی اچھے اخلاق عطا فرما دیجئے, اللہ سنت اخلاق عطا فرما دیجئے, دلوں کے اندر رحمت اور شفقت عطا فرما دیجئے, دلوں کے اندر معافی کا جذبہ عطا فرما دیجئے, ایک ہمدردی اور نرمی ہمیں بھی عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہماری ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمتوں سے قبول فرما. اللہ جو مانگا ہے عطا فرما دیجئے, جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے, اللہ اپنی رحمتوں سے وہ بھی نصیب فرما. اللہ ہمیں اپنے وقت کی قدر کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما, ایک ایک لمحے کی قدر کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اللہ آخرت کے اندر ہمیں شرمندگی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, اللہ آخرت کے اندر اللہ عزت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اللہ اس دن کی شرمندگی حقیقی شرمندگی ہے, اللہ اس دن کی رسوائی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما دیجئے. اس دن اللہ ہمیں عزت نصیب فرما, اس دن کو ہمارے زندگی کا سب سے خوشیوں بھرا دن بنا, اس دن کو ہماری زندگی کا سب سے عزتوں والا دن بنا دیجئے. اللہ اس دن ہمیں سب سے زیادہ اپنی نعمتیں عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہمیں اس دنیا کے اندر آخرت کی صحیح معنوں میں تیاری کرنے والا بنا دیجئے. ہمیں بھی یا اللہ آخرت کے اللہ جتنی نعمتیں ہیں اللہ ہمیں بھی اپنا حصہ عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ اپنے رتبہ ہمارے آخرت کے درجات کو اور آگے بڑھا دیجئے, اور بلندی عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ ایک سبحان اللہ کے اوپر اللہ آخرت کے اندر درجہ بھر جاتا ہے, رتبہ بڑھ جاتا ہے. یا رب کریم اللہ ہمیں اس دنیا کے اندر کئی دفعہ سبحان اللہ کہنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما, کئی دفعہ اللہ آپ کا ذکر کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. ہمیں ذاکر زبان عطا فرما, ہماری زبانوں کو اپنے ذکر اپنی یاد سے تر فرما دیجئے, ہمارے دلوں کو اپنی یاد کے اندر اللہ مسخر فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم رحمتوں کے ساتھ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. ہماری آنکھوں کے اندر حیا نصیب, آنکھوں کا ذکر نصیب فرما, اللہ آنکھوں کے اندر حیا عطا فرما. ہماری زبان کا ذکر عطا فرما, آپ کا شکر اور حمد ہمیں زبان پہ نصیب فرما. ہاتھوں پہ ذکر نصیب فرما, ہاتھوں کو اچھے کام دین کے کاموں پہ لگانے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم رحمتوں سے ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.